Rapid maxillary expansion is a common technique to expand the upper arch and to increase the size of the nasal airway. The original rapid maxillary expansion devices were tooth-borne, and this resulted in the force being applied to the maxilla via the teeth. However, a recent development has been the use of mini-implants that have been placed in the palate to anchor the RME. The force is therefore applied directly to the maxillary bones, and this may increase the amount of maxillary expansion. The effect of this potentially increased expansion was looked at in this new trial, which was published in the European Journal of Orthodontics. The study was called The Effects of Nasal Airflow and Resistance Using Two Different RME Appliances, a Randomized Controlled Trial, and the lead author was Dr. Bazzagani. The aim of their trial was to assess and compare the influence of the conventional tooth-borne RME and the tooth-bone-borne RME on the nasal airflow and nasal resistance in growing children who had a constricted maxilla. They carried out a randomized controlled trial in which they randomly allocated 40 patients who had unilateral or bilateral crossbite with a constricted maxilla and were in the early mixed dentition stage. Randomization and concealment were good, and they randomly allocated the patients to have treatment with a tooth-borne RME device or a tooth bone-borne expander in which there were two mini-screw implants which attached the expander to the palate. The expansion treatment lasted until the palatal cusps of the maxillary first molars contacted the buccal cusps of the mandibular first molars. As a result, there was overexpansion in both arches. Nasal airflow and nasal airway resistance were assessed for each nasal cavity by clinicians who were based at a nearby ENT department, and data was collected at the start of the study and after the expansion period. At the conclusion of the study, they found that 4 of the tooth-borne and 6 of the tooth-bone-borne patients did not complete the study. This resulted in the number of dropouts being unequal, and this means that there may be some bias in the study. However, the authors addressed this to a degree by imputing data for the dropouts. Their findings were clinically relevant. In brief, they found that there were no difference between the groups at the start of treatment. However, after expansion, there was a higher nasal airflow in the mini-implant group, and similarly, there was a greater reduction in nasal airway resistance for this group. Again, the differences were clinically significant. Their overall conclusions were, when it comes to treating patients with a constricted maxilla and upper airway obstruction, it might be wise to use an RME device that is anchored with mini implants to the palate instead of the conventional design. I thought that this was an interesting study. It was carried out very well and reported clearly. They also dealt with the issue of dropouts using acceptable methods. I think that this study does add data on the effectiveness of RME on the nasal airway, and it certainly appears that the use of bone-anchored RME is clinically effective. In general, this study should perhaps change our practice towards the use of mini-implant anchored RME devices. Effects of nasal airflow and resistance using two different RME appliances, a randomized controlled trial.